evening and welcome to Verity Baptist Church. Can I please have everyone find their seats and grab their songbooks and turn to page number 245. We're going to start the service off singing "The Old Account Was Settled." Find your seat, grab your songbook, turn to page number 245. That's page 245. "The Old Account Was Settled." And let's go ahead and sing it out on that first verse. "There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was hidden for sins that I'll forgive. My name was at the top, and many things below. I went unto the keeper and said, oh, long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Make sure you scream hallelujah. Page 245, let's go ahead and sing it out on the second verse.
"The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead, it saw such pain and woe. I said that I would settle. I settled long ago.
Let's do it out. Let's sing it out on the third, page 245, on the third verse.
"When in the happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing a redemption story and praise Him for His love. I'll not forget that love with pages white as snow, because I came and settled long ago, long ago.
Baptist Church in the Wednesday evening Bible study. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for these people who come out here on a Wednesday evening to serve you. I pray that our singing would glorify you, Lord, and I pray that you'd bless the service and the preaching to come. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, now turn in your songbooks, page number 232. Page 232. We're going to sing "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." Page 232, this is a song you have to sing out a bit, so let's go ahead and sing that out. Page 232, let's sing it out on that first verse.
"Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart.
page 232, on the last verse.
Welcome you to the Wednesday evening Bible study here at Verity Baptist Church. We're so glad that you are with us. Let's take our bulletins. We're going to look at some announcements real quickly. If you do not have a bulletin, you can raise your hand and one of our ushers can get one for you. If you need a bulletin, just put your hand up and we will get one for you. The verse this week, Psalm 100 and verse 5, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And that's a good verse there. We like that. If you open up your bulletin, you'll see our service time, Sunday morning service, 10:30 a.m. And we, of course, invite you to be with us on Sunday morning on the Lord's Day for church. And then we have our Sunday evening service at 6 p.m. and our Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're glad that you are here for the Wednesday evening Bible study. If you look at our soul winning times, our main soul winning time is on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. And then we have additional soul winning times on Thursdays and on Sundays at 2 p.m. So if you'd like to go soul winning, there'll be an opportunity for you to do that tomorrow. And then, of course, we'd love for you to join us for our big soul winning rally on Saturday mornings. If you look at the announcements and upcoming events, I just want you to be aware of a few things coming up. First of all, we have our graduation service coming up on Sunday, June 8th. And that's in a couple of weeks. It's not this Sunday or next Sunday, but the Sunday after that. But we just want you to put that on your calendar. And, of course, if you are part of our church's homeschool group and you have a graduate, either a kindergartner or a high school graduate, please make sure on the communication card to let us know. If you'd like them to participate in the graduation service, meaning they'll walk and they'll receive their diploma, then fill that out. If you're part of the homeschool group and you're graduating you have a student that's graduating sixth or eighth grade, then we'd love to recognize them at the service as well. They won't walk and receive a diploma, but we'll have them stand and we'll acknowledge them. So make sure you fill that out as well. And if you're not part of our homeschool group, but you have any of those, kindergarten, sixth grade, eighth grade, high school, college, whatever, and we would love to recognize them as well. So make sure you fill that out on the communication card and write your name or the name of the student, grade, school, just whatever information is on there. We're going to have pizza in honor of the graduates that Sunday night. So make sure you're here and make sure you support the graduates and make it a nice day for them. Of course, this last Sunday we had our family fun night. That went well. I want you to know that we have our church picnic coming up this Monday, May 26th. It's Memorial Day. So from 1 to 6 p.m. here on the property. And we're going to have a water balloon fight for the kids. There's going to be a wiffle ball game for the men, volleyball for the ladies. The basketball, of course, will be set up. And everything, all the other stuff, the giant Jenga and the cornhole, all of it's going to be set up. The church is going to provide the hamburgers, hot dogs, drinks, chips, all of that. But if you'd like to help bring a dessert or a side dish, there are clipboards in the back, and you can fill out to help with that, and of course we'd appreciate your help with that. And then the youth conference, we're trying to get this all buttoned down, and I think Brother Oliver has some receipts for some of you that he needs to talk to, so make sure you see him after the service if you're still needing to take care of the hotels, registration, or something like that. Choir practice, of course, started on Sunday, went well. A homeschool group, tomorrow is the last PE class for the year, all right? So you don't want to miss that. Make sure you're there for that. That's going to be a good time. And then you should have, of course, one of these cards there in your bulletin. And we're continuing on Sunday mornings through our timeline of the end time series. We talked about the abomination of desolation this last Sunday. And this coming Sunday, we're going to definitely get to the mark of the beast. And then on Sunday nights, we're going to be back in our First Kings series. If you look at the back of the bulletin, birthdays and anniversaries for the month of May. This week we had Brother Nate and Miss April Deacon's anniversary on the 19th. And then today, the 21st, is Valente Perez's birthday, and also Sergi Goncharov III's birthday is today. And then later this week, we have Brother David Pieris has a birthday, May 23rd. My daughter, Elizabeth Jimenez, turns 13. She's a teenager, May 24th. And then Malachi Jimenez has a birthday, May 24th. And Michael Salazar has a birthday, May 24th as well. Praise report, money matters. All of those things are there for you to look at. And I think that's it for all of the announcements. So we're going to go ahead and take our songbooks and go to page number 127. Page number 127. And we're going to sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," as we prepare to receive the offering this evening. 127, sing it out on the first.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know us in the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I know him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, great, we trust him more."
127, sing it out on the second. 127 on the second. A quick reminder that we, of course, are a family-integrated church. We've got mother baby rooms and daddy rooms available for your convenience. So if you have a child that's being distracting during the service, or if you need some privacy, we would encourage you to use those rooms as needed. And please don't forget to turn your cell phones off or place them on silent during the service so that they don't go off in the middle of the preaching. We'll have the guys come up and help us with the offering. And let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. We thank you for allowing us to gather together tonight. Lord, we pray that you would bless the offering, the gift, and those who generously give to support this ministry. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you take care of us financially, Lord, and we pray that you would continue to do so. We pray that you'd meet with us tonight as we Open up your word as we spend time in prayer. Lord, help us to learn from your word. Help us to be able to pray for our church family together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go and take our prayer sheets tonight. If you do not get a prayer sheet on your way in, just raise your hand and one of our ushers can get one for you. If you need a prayer list, just put your hand up and we'll get one for you. Of course, I want to remind you that the way you add a request to the prayer sheet is through your communication card. On the back of the card, there's a place for you to write down a request. Make sure you mark whether it's private or public. If it's public, we'll put it on the prayer sheet. If it's private, only I will see it. If you don't mark it, we'll do our best to figure it out. Usually, we don't add those. And of course, we add the requests in the order that they are received, and they are removed after a couple of weeks. So if you'd like for it to be there longer, you'll need to fill out another communication card. And I just want to bring your attention to just a couple of praise reports. One that's not on the prayer sheet, but I just want to let you know about it. Brother Mike, of course, is here. We've been praying for him, and he had his angioplasty yesterday, and everything came out. There was good results, no major blockages. And so praise the Lord for that. And we've been praying for that and just want to acknowledge that. Also, Brother Daryl has a praise report here, and he's been having some great progress with health issues as well. So praise the Lord for answered prayer. And let's go and take these requests to the Lord. I'm going to pray out loud. I'm going to ask that you would pray with me in your mind and your heart. And let's go ahead and pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight as a church family, corporately coming together to pray for these requests from our church family. And Lord, we begin with these requests regarding health. We have a request from Miss Amy, praying for her little brother Rudy and his recovery from a heart attack. Also, Miss Erin McBride, praying for her health. Miss Kathy Parker, praying for mental health. Miss Irene Reed, praying for the health of her niece, Francine, and that she would recover from her brain bleed and be healed. Of course, Brother Mike, we are thankful for the praise report. No major blockages found during the procedure. No stents were needed, and we thank you, Lord, for that. And we just continue to pray for his healing and that the medications and change in diet and exercise will help his heart to heal, Lord, and we just pray that you'd continue to help him with those things. We pray for Brother Warren, praying for his siblings, for their health, and Brother Salvador, praying for health, and also for his brother PJ's recovery from a broken arm. Miss Maria Kudalima, praying for health and recovery of her brother, and Steve Ames, praying for complete healing as he's treated for colon cancer. Ms. Dogma, praying for relief for her pain. Brother Edgar and Ms. Selena, praying for Yoretzi and Jonathan to just continue to be healthy. Of course, we're continuing to pray for our missionary, Dave Cabontala's wife, Miss Angel, as she continues to recover and be treated for breast cancer. And Lord, we ask for all of these individuals. We pray that you would help them and that you would be with them. We pray that you would heal them. We pray that you would put your healing hand over them. We ask that you'd give the doctors and the nurses wisdom and discernment as they deal with them. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done in their lives. We also pray for Miss Amy, for Traveling Mercies, for her trip to Oklahoma. And we pray for Ruben, who's praying, just praying for help as he grieves the loss of his sister. And Lord, we know that you, of course, are the great comforter. We pray that you'd comfort him. We pray for Miss Christine for her walk with you, and Brother Salvador for his faith and his walk with you as well. Lord, we pray that you strengthen them. Then we pray for Chris, and he's praying for himself and his wife Jessica, his children Ezra and Elsie, and for their family to get through the hardship that they're currently facing. We pray for Miss Rebecca Garcia, praying for her husband Danny's board date on September 19th. That his preparation would go well and that he would be released, Lord. And of course, we pray for your will with regards to that. We pray for Brother Salvador, praying for his family as well. And then, Lord, we pray for these that have requests regarding physical needs or financial needs. Miss Kathy Parker, praying for employment. Brother Warren, praying for not just his siblings' health, but also their finances. Miss Christine, Brother Salvador, praying for finances and work as well. Brother Alex Rosales, praying that the Lord would open up a door to find a new place to rent soon. And Lord, we pray that you would open up all of those doors. Lord, we pray that you'd help these individuals and be with them with regards to these things. And then, Lord, we pray for these that have requests regarding salvation. Miss Natalie, praying for her husband's salvation. Brother Warren, praying for the salvation of his friend Zach. Brother Vladi and Miss Antonina, praying for their family salvation. Miss Christine, praying for her family salvation. Miss Maria, praying for Roma and Skylar's salvation. And Miss Dagma, praying for her daughter and her family salvation. And Lord, we ask for these individuals. We hold them up to you in prayer, asking that you would work on their hearts, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work in their lives and in their hearts and their minds, that you would bring them to the place where they might be willing and ready to hear the gospel, and that a soul winner would communicate the gospel clearly to them. And Lord, we thank you for the answered prayer for Brother Mike and Brother Daryl with regards to the progress being made with their health, Lord, and we acknowledge that and want to thank you for that. And then, Lord, we also pray for all of these unspoken requests. And we pray for Miss Natalie, who has an unspoken request, and Brother Salvador, who has an unspoken request. Also, Miss Dagma and Miss Michelle Scott, my dad, Brother Felix, and Miss Kimmy Gessler, Miss Rachel Gibson, all having unspoken requests. And Lord, you know what their petitions are. You know what they're asking for. And Lord, we pray that you would answer according to your will. And then, Lord, we just pray for our church. We pray that you would continue to help our church and be with our church, that you would continue to provide for our church. We pray for the work being done on the mission field in Cebu with our missionary, Dave Cabontala, and his family. We also pray for the work being done in Manila and in Pampanga and in Bicol with Pastor Stucky and with his family. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to continue to support these missionaries and the work that they're doing, that you would bless them. Lord, we pray for the upcoming church picnic, that it would just be a great event and everybody would have a good time. Lord, we just pray that you'd continue to help our church and strengthen our church, bless our church. And Lord, we pray that you'd meet with us tonight as we take some time to open up your word and study the Bible together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Please open us to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, if you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand, and an usher can bring you a Bible. Psalm 37, we'll read the entire chapter as our custom. Psalm 37, beginning verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and he that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. God, I thank you for your word and for our church. I ask you please meet with us tonight. Give us all a tender heart to the message. And as be the pastor, please strengthen him and fill him with your spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. We're there in Psalm 37. And of course, on Wednesday nights, we've been making our way through the book of Psalms. We've been studying the Psalms together. And tonight we find ourselves in the 37th week of the study, the 37th Psalm. And this is a little bit of a longer psalm. It's 40 verses. So we're going to move quickly as we can through these verses. But before we get started into the verses, let me give you a little context of the psalm. If you look at Psalm 37, of course, if you look at verse 1, if you see the superscription, you'll notice that before the verse begins, we have this superscription that says, "A Psalm of David." And of course, that identifies that David is the human author of this psalm. We know that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We know that the Holy Spirit is the one that gave us the psalm through David. But I want you to notice that David is the human author. And there's a little bit of a theme in this psalm. And instead of going through and showing you the theme, I'll show it to you as we move along through the psalm. But let me just show you one verse that kind of highlights the theme. And if you look down at verse number 25, we're going to come back and go through the whole psalm together here in a moment. But look at verse number 25 just real quickly, Psalm 37, verse 25. It's actually a very famous verse in this psalm. Psalm 37, verse 25 says this, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And of course, we're going to look at that in its context when we get to it here in a moment. But I want to highlight for you that this is a Psalm of David, which tells us that David wrote it. And in verse 25, David identifies for us when in his life he wrote it. Now, we don't know exactly how old he was, and we don't know exactly where in his life, but we see that he identifies himself as an old man. He says, I have been young, and he says, and now, as I'm writing the psalm, he says, I am old. Now, that's interesting. It's a little bit of a unique thing in the psalm where we see David identifying himself in a stage of life. He's telling us that he's writing the psalm in a time in his life when he would consider himself old. It's interesting because the timing of these psalms, you know, these sermons, I plan a lot, but I don't plan these types of things out. But we're going to look at the psalm that David writes, Psalm 37, as an old man. And we're getting David's perspective on some things as an old man. The interesting thing is that on Sunday night, when we're back in our 2 Kings study, we're going to see David on his deathbed. And we're going to see him say some things to Solomon right before his death. So this week, I guess, is all about David as an old man, giving us some perspective of life. But that's what the psalm is about. It's about David as an old man, giving us some perspective of life. And the theme that the psalm carries through it is a theme of time. And I'll highlight that for you as we move through it. It's a theme of time. And what David is doing is he's an old man, and he's giving us some perspective that comes with age, some perspective that comes with time. In fact, I've entitled the sermon, The Perspective of Age. But I thought about entitling the sermon, Time Will Tell. Because what David is telling us in this psalm is that in the Christian life, you've got to give it time. And I've said to you many times over the years that the Christian life is not measured by weeks or months or even years, but it's measured in decades. We want to get to the end of our journey. Paul said, I have finished my course. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. He said that he wants to finish his course with joy. And David is telling us that there are some things that time teaches and that time tells you, and there's a perspective that only time can give, that only age can give. But what David is doing is he's trying to benefit us by telling us that may not consider ourselves old. Some of you maybe consider yourselves old, but that's between you and the Lord. That's, you know, whatever. Sometimes people get offended with that. I consider myself old, but I'm not elderly, obviously. But David is giving us the benefit of his years. And he's lived a life. And he's lived a full life. And he's lived a life of ups and downs. And he's done great things for the Lord. And he's done some things that are not great in his life. And he's getting to the end of his life. And he writes this psalm. And he gives us the perspective of his age. And I want to highlight that for you as we study it together. And if you want to take some notes, of course, I always encourage you to take notes on the back of your course of the week. There's a place for you to write down some things. Or maybe you've got a notebook that you bring. Let me walk you through this psalm and I'll give you some applications as we move through it. There are different headings that this is divided into, and I'll give them to you as we go. Like I said, it's 40 verses, so we'll try to move quickly. First of all, I want you to notice that the psalm begins with the command to stop fretting. There's a command to stop fretting. Notice verse number one, he says, a psalm of David, and then the first word of the psalm says, fret. And the word fret is not a word that we use a lot today, but it means to be anxious. But it has this idea of worry and being anxious, but also frustrated or frustration. And you know what? I don't know why, Brother Nate. I just realized that I skipped your prayer request. I don't know where Brother Nate is, but I skipped your prayer request on that prayer sheet. I'm going to pray for your exam after the service. Somebody remind me to pray for Brother Nate, and I can't skip his request. He has a gun, and so I got to make sure that I don't know how I did that, but we'll make sure we pray for that. Somebody remind me. Brother Nate's back there. He's waving his gun. No, I'm just kidding. He's not. Brother Oliver, I don't know where anybody is. Can you write me a note? I don't want to make sure I don't forget that. Put it right here if you don't mind. And he had a big exam he's been working on. And anyway, we're cutting into my time now. Fret. Don't be anxious. Frustrated. He says, fret not thyself. fret not thyself because of evildoers. So the word fret, it has to do with being anxious. It has to do with being frustrated. But there's this idea of anger with it. And that's where the frustration comes from. And he tells us, fret not thyself. And he's telling us, he's an old man with some experience and some perspective. And he's telling us, fret not thyself. Why would we fret? Why would we be frustrated? He says, because of evildoers. And those are those who practice evil, who do evil. He says, neither be thou envious. And of course, envy is to desire something that does not belong to you. And he says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And the worker of iniquity is one who practices sin, one who practices iniquity. And here David is telling us, don't fret. Don't be anxious. Don't be frustrated because of the evildoers. Don't be envious of the workers of iniquity. Later in the psalm, he's going to talk to us. He's going to tell us that the envy is because of their prosperity. And he says, you don't need to fret, to be frustrated, to be angry, to be anxious, to desire the prosperity of the wicked. And he says, here's why. Verse number 2. He says, for they shall soon be cut down. I want you to notice when he says there, they shall soon be cut down. That's the perspective of age. That's the perspective of time. He says, that's the theme of this psalm. He says, give it some time. He says, time will tell. He says, right now you're living life and you're looking at life and you're watching maybe individuals who are not doing right and they seem to be succeeding. It seems like things are going their way. He says, don't fret. Don't get frustrated. Don't get upset. He says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. He gives this illustration of the grass. We've got 3 acres of property here and a whole lot of grass. And I'm thankful for the men that volunteer and cut the grass and take care of all that, especially when we have events out there. But he says, the wicked are like grass that gets cut down. He says, it's like grass that withers. That grass is nice and green and beautiful right now, but just give it a few weeks, give it a couple of months, and it's going to be yellow. Why? Because they wither like the green herb. He says, the prosperity of the wicked is fleeting. It will soon come to an end. And here's the application. And I'm going to give this to you in sections, and then I'm just going to give you an application for the sections. But what David is teaching us is this, that age or time will eventually teach us that the prosperity of the wicked is not worth our envy. And it's not worth our envy because it's temporary, because their end is certain, because they will soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Thank you. If I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember, and I don't want to forget that. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. He says the prosperity of the wicked is not worth us fretting and being frustrated about. It's easy to become frustrated watching people live sinfully, and it seems like they get ahead. You could be tempted to envy their success or to question whether living right and living righteously is worth it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You watch even Christians, they'll skip something like a Wednesday night service so that they could go to work while you're purpose, you know, making church and the house of God a priority, but then they seem like things are going well and they're getting ahead, and you sometimes could even begin to question. And what David is telling us is that as time passes, time shows us and time tells that their success is temporary, that their end comes quickly. And the perspective from an old man is telling us now, saying, just wait. Time will tell. Focus on the things of the Lord and don't fret yourself because of their success. Now, you're there in Psalm 37. That's obviously our text for tonight. But go with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24. You're there in Psalms. Just flip over to Proverbs chapter 24. Just real quickly, just one book over, Proverbs 24. Look at verse 19. Proverbs 24, 19. This is not something that's unique to David in the Psalms, but we see it in the Proverbs as well. Proverbs 24 and verse 19 says, fret not thyself because of evil men. It's the same thing that David is teaching in Psalm 37. Don't fret. Don't get frustrated because of evil men. Neither be thou, notice it's the same thing, envious at the wicked. Don't envy their success. Don't envy their prosperity. Why? Notice what he says. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. And what he's talking about here, and we spent several weeks recently preaching about and teaching about and learning about the fact that we're going to be rewarded in heaven and that God has rewards. And what the proverb is teaching us is that the evil man, the wicked man, yes, he prospers on this earth, but he says there's no reward to the evil man. And what we're being taught is this, that what he's getting on this earth. And if all you have is this earth, then you better get what you can on this earth, because the wicked man, that's all he's getting. He says, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. But here's the problem with that. He says, the candle of the wicked shall be put out. And the idea is this, that all he's getting is what he's getting on this earth, in this life. But the problem with this life is that it is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. He says the reward of the, there's no reward, there's no eternal reward, and the candle of the wicked shall be put out. And here's what the perspective of age tells us, that it is better to live for eternity than to live for the temporal. So don't get frustrated, don't become envious over the, there's a command that we see, the command to stop fretting over the wicked. Don't allow yourself to go there, because what they have is all they'll have on this earth. Then I want you to notice, secondly, if you can make your way back to Psalm 37, not only do we see the command to stop fretting, but then there's a section here of verses between verses 3 and 8 where we see the conduct of the faithful. The conduct of the faithful. We see the command to stop fretting. We see the conduct of the faithful. And there's lots here, and it kind of all overlaps, but I want to point out for you that there are some directives. There's some direct statements that we are told in these verses. Let me just highlight them for you. Notice verse 3. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. This is a command. This is what the conduct of the faithful should look like. We must trust in the Lord and do good. Now, here's what he says in verse 3. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, what do these two things have to do with each other? And what they have to do with each other is this, that sometimes in order for us to do good, we need to trust in the Lord. Because when we're watching the wicked and the liars and the cheaters, and they're getting ahead, we need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's actually something that's mentioned in Psalm 37 as well. We have to trust in the Lord and just do good, trusting that the Lord is going to take care of it. But notice the last part of verse 3. He says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He tells us, look, doing good should come as a result of trusting God and trusting his word. And he says, as a result of trusting God and of doing the right thing and doing what you're supposed to do, God will provide for you. He says, you'll dwell in the land. He says, you'll dwell securely in the land. He says, thou shalt be fed. So we're told to trust in the Lord and do good, and God will provide. That's verse 3. Then in verse 4, here's another famous verse in this psalm. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And here, this is a verse that I think people probably like when they read it. They think, oh, this is a great verse. He's going to give me the desires of my heart. But I want you to understand that there's some big disclaimer. There's a big disclaimer in this verse. We like to focus in on the desires of thine heart, but the big disclaimer is this. In fact, I think God even alliterates it for us just to highlight it. These two words are there, delight and desires. Delight and desires. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Here's the big disclaimer, and I don't mean to, you know, pop your bubble or rain on your parade, but my job is just to teach you the Bible. And the big disclaimer is this, that God does not promise to give you or me. And what I mean by that is the carnal fleshly, backslidden, the version of us that is not delighting in the Lord, he does not promise to give that version of you and that version of me the desires of our hearts. Because the desires of that heart are wicked and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? What God says is that he promises to give the individual that delights themselves in the Lord, he says, that person, I will give them the desires of thine heart. You say, well, what's the difference? The difference is this. When you and I learn to delight ourselves in the Lord, the desires of our heart are going to line up with the will of God. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, then the desires of our heart are going to be things that God is able to give us, that God is willing to give us. But the backslidden, not right with God, not reading your Bible, not being a soul winner, you know, the backslidden version of us, there's no promise there for God to give you the desires in your heart. The caveat and the disclaimer is this: you learn to delight thyself also in the Lord, and when you do that, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Because the person who's delighting themselves in the Lord is going to have appropriate desires that God wants. They're going to have godly desires. They're going to have goodly desires. They're going to have desires that God is able and willing to give. Now the question is this: how do we delight ourselves in the Lord? Well, you're there in Psalm 37. Just flip back just real quickly to Psalm 1. Let me just highlight one verse for you. Psalm 1 and verse 2. Of course, Psalm 1 is a famous passage. And I just want you to notice verse 2. Remember, in verse 1, we talk about blessed is the man, and we see what he doesn't do. He doesn't stand in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. In verse 2, here's what he does do, the blessed man. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You say, I want to delight myself in the Lord. Well, here's how you delight yourself in the Lord. We delight in the law of the Lord. And when we delight, when his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When you and I delight ourselves in the Lord, we must delight ourselves in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And when the word of God changes us and transforms us, and we begin to think biblically, then God can begin to give us the desires of our heart. So we see that we should, if you can make your way back to Psalm 37, we should trust in the Lord and do good. We should delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. But big caveat, that's not just anyone. Because let's just be honest, right? The not spiritual version of you, the carnal version of you, is like desires of mine heart, and you're just like, win the lottery, you know, drive a Ferrari, you know, whatever, and all sorts of other wicked things that you and I would probably want to do. But God says, no, you want to delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in his word, and then God says, I will give you the desires of your heart. Then in verse 5, we see the third directive. He says, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And here God is just telling, the word commit means to make a commitment. He says, make a commitment to God and trust what he says. He says, and if you do that, then he shall, look at the last part of verse 5, he shall bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? All the things that he's been talking about. The fact that you're going to dwell in the land securely and safely. The fact that thou shalt be fed, verse 3. The fact that he will give you the desires of your heart, verse 4. He says, you just commit yourself to God and he will bring all those things to pass. And here's what David is telling us. He's telling us, look, you just got to trust him. And you just got to try it. And you've got to give it time, and time will tell. He says, the perspective that I have, David would say, as an old man, is that you should trust in the Lord, is that you should delight yourself in his word, is that you should just commit yourself. Stop holding back. Stop being hesitant. Just commit your ways unto the Lord. And God promises, he says, he shall bring it to pass. Then I want you to notice in verses 6 and 7, we see the next directive. And I believe that verse 6 is in the context of the directive found in verse 7. I think they go together, but I want you to notice what it says there, verse 6. He says, "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." And here what he's talking about is open vindication. He said, "I'm going to vindicate you." He said, "Your righteousness is going to be seen like the light. My judgment coming down in your favor will be seen as clearly as things can be seen in the noonday." And he says, because of that, verse 7, here's the directive: rest in the Lord and wait. That's the emphasis on time. Wait patiently for him. And then he says it again: fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He's saying, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. He says, your vindication will come. Your vindication is coming. So don't fret yourself about this prosperity of the wicked. He says, time will tell. There's an old man speaking to us, and he's telling us, just stick with it. Just stay at it. Then he says in verse 8, we see the final directive in this little section. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And then he says, fret not. He's been using that word a lot in the psalm. Again, it means don't get anxious, angry, frustrated. He said, don't frustrate yourself in any wise to the point where you would do evil. He says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And the idea is this, that unchecked anger and unchecked wrath and unchecked frustration leads us to do things that we shouldn't do, we normally wouldn't do, to say things we wouldn't say or shouldn't say. It allows us to lose control. And look, there is a thing in the Bible where the Bible says that, you know, be angry and sin not. There is a such thing as righteous indignation, but let's just be honest with ourselves. Most of the time when we allow ourselves to get angry and just lose control, nothing good comes from that. So here's an old man giving you some perspective of time. And he says, you know what I've learned is that the best thing is just to cease from anger, is just to forsake wrath. He said, you don't have to listen to me, but I think David might say, time will tell. So we see the second section. And in the section, I think the application for us is this, that age or time will eventually tell and teach us that the world does not fill the void that you're trying to fill. That's what that whole section is about. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He says, commit your ways unto the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. He says, just try it and just test it and just give it time. And I think what he's telling us is this, that we often look for external things to satisfy an inner longing, to try to fill it with all sorts of sin and all sorts of things. People will chase success and relationships and physical relationships and possessions and recognition and drugs and alcohol and all of it, hoping that it'll make them happy, hoping that it'll fill some void. But this old man is telling us that the world promises fulfillment, and it never delivers. Over time, it becomes clear that none of it truly satisfies. But he says, God will. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. And you and I think, oh, that could never happen. But David says, why don't you try it? And why don't you give it time? Here's a verse for you, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You don't have to turn there unless you want to. It's just a couple books over. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. In verse 10, it says this, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase, that is also vanity. You know, over the years, I've met people, and it seems like they've got this drive for success and drive for money, and, you know, I've got to make more money this year than I made last year, this drive. But you know what I've noticed about people like that is that they seem to be the most unhappy people. And you say, why? Because money's not going to satisfy that hole you've got. And no amount of pleasure, no amount of toys is going to satisfy a hole that is put there and meant to only be satisfied by God, Almighty God. So we see the conduct of a faithful believer. And then I want you to notice there's a third section in verses 9 through 11. We see the contrast between the righteous and the wicked. There's this contrast. And these kind of overlap a little bit, but I want you to just notice it. Verse 9, he says, "For evildoers shall be cut off." That's the emphasis on time. He says, they're going to be cut off. Here's the contrast. But, he says, the compare and contrast is this. Those that wait, that's the emphasis on time, upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And these verses are quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ. The meek shall inherit the earth. This all comes from Psalm 37. Look at verse 10. For yet a little while, notice the emphasis on time, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. He says, look, just here's what David is saying. He's saying, just time will tell. Verse 10, for yet a little while. He's saying, time will tell. Give it some time. And he said, you know what I learned after I lived for some time? You know what I learned after I've got some experience? You know what I learned, David would say? He said, I was young at one point, and now I am old, and here's what I can tell you. He says, just give it a little bit of time, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place. He said, you'll start thinking, whatever happened to that guy? Whatever happened to that person? You'll start trying to search them out and find, what happened to that? You will diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Here's the contrast, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. That's what Jesus said. He quoted it in the New Testament. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And again, the emphasis is that the wicked are temporary and the righteous will triumph. So here's the application. Their prosperity is for a moment and our blessings are for eternity. So it's tempting to believe, and we see this in other psalms. Asaph has actually a very famous psalm where he kind of goes through the same thing, just watching the wicked, watching them prosper, asking himself, is it even worth it? It's tempting to believe that the wicked are unmovable, that the meek are insignificant. We live in a world where the loudest voices, the flashiest voices, they dominate. But David would say, time will tell. David would say, time will show that the wicked will vanish, their place will be forgotten. He says, so just live for eternity. Let me give you this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:18. You have to turn there. I'll just read this for you. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Paul said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And what David is telling us and what Paul is telling us and what Jesus was telling us and what the Word of God is telling us is that the way that we make, look, if you want to get to the end of your life with as few regrets as possible, and if you want to get to the end of your life and be an old man like David and feel fulfilled, he says, you ought to live for the eternal, not for the temporal. And you say, well, how do I know the difference? How do I know if I'm living, which one I'm living for? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:18 gives us a litmus test. Listen to it again. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Live for the eternal, not for that which is temporary. You say, well, how can I know the difference? Here's the litmus test. If you can see it, it's temporary. If you can't see it, it's eternal. Now look, we live in a physical world. We have to deal with physical things. You need a house to live in. You need clothes to wear. You're going to need a vehicle to drive. We understand those things. But when you're living for the house you live in, when you're living for the clothes you wear, when you're living for the vehicle you drive, you're wasting your life. Because that which is of value cannot be seen. What cannot be seen? The souls of men. What cannot be seen? The relationship between a husband and a wife. What cannot be seen? The relationship between a father and a mother and children. What cannot? Those are the things that matter. So be careful about emphasizing that which can be seen. I think we ought to live healthy lives, and I think we ought to try to be healthy, and God has given us the temple, which is our body, and we should try to take care of it. But even overemphasizing your health and your body, you know, bodybuilding and all this, you know, just, it's temporary. It's going to die. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being healthy. I think we ought to be healthy, and we ought to exercise. What I'm saying to you is, an old man is telling us, I was young once, and now I'm old. And if you'll listen to me, I'd like to give you some advice here. Don't live for that which can be seen. It'll be a waste. I want you to notice the fourth heading. It covers verses 12 through 15. And if you remember, in the second heading, we saw the conduct of the faithful. In this heading, we're going to see the characteristics of the wicked. And he tells us this is what the wicked do, verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. This is what wicked people do. This is a characteristic of wicked people. You know, I always think it's interesting how a wicked person will leave a church. You know, here's the thing about people leaving churches. People leave churches all the time. You know, it's always funny to me how people highlight when someone leaves and they cause problems. That's highlighted for you because they're causing problems. I could name after name of people that leave churches all the time that you didn't even notice left. But it's funny to me, one way, I mean, I just had a call today from a guy that left our church years ago, and he's calling me and asking me some advice and just telling me how much he loves me and my wife and our church and whatever. But here's the thing about wicked people is when they leave, but they can't leave. They're just plotting against the just. They're just gnashing upon him with, you know, my thing is this. Look, if I left a church, if I leave this church, I'm just moving on with my life. I'm not going to sit there and just plot and think, who can I call? What can I do? How can I? That's a wicked person. You say, what does God do? Well, notice what God does. The wicked plot, and here's what God does. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh. The wicked plots why the Lord laughs. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Notice the emphasis on time. Why does God laugh? Because he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bows to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be upright, be of upright conversation. Notice verse 15. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. Here's what David, an old man, tells us. He tells us, don't worry too much about the attacks of the wicked. And look, I know it's hard. As human beings, it's hard not to worry about things like this. But he says, while you're fretting, God's laughing because God knows that their day is coming and the attack of the wicked will backfire and return upon them. He says, their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. Psalm 7, verses 15 and 16, if you can turn there real quickly, you're there in Psalm 37, just flip back to Psalm 7. He says, it can feel like the wicked are plotting and attacking and gaining, and they're just getting away with it. They speak harshly. They act violently. They target people who are just trying to live for God and do right. But what David tells us is that with time, time will tell. And he says, what time tells you is this, that their day is coming. Their weapons are going to get turned back on them. Psalm 7 and verse 15 and 16 says this. He made a pit and digged it. He made a pit. He digged a pit. The whole point of the pit was to be a trap for you or someone else to fall in it. But here the psalm tells us he made a pit and digged it and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own pate. And here's what he's saying. Time will tell. And look, sometimes people will attack us, and they'll do mean things and cruel things or whatever, and then they'll laugh and they'll act like, you know, everything's great, everything's going on and great in my life, as you're rebelling against the Lord and fighting against God's people. You say, well, what's our response? Well, our response should just be this: time will tell. Time will tell. I don't need to know how you're doing a few weeks later. I want to know how you're doing a few decades later. I don't want to know the effect it had on your children when they were in your home. I want to see the effect it's going to have on your children years down the road. David says the perspective of age is that time will tell. So before you decide to divorce, hear an old man say, time will tell. Before you decide to quit on God, hear an old man say, time will tell. Before you decide to do whatever mess you're going to make, hear an old man say, all right, time will tell. Because the Lord, verse 13, look at the last part of verse 13. He seeth that his day is coming. So he says, time will tell. And I want you to notice in verses 16 through 26, we have the next section. And we see the care of the righteous. Let me just run through this quickly. He says that God upholds, notice verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Again, this is an old man coming to the end of his life, and he says, you know what time has told me? Time has told me that a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. He says, time tells me that God upholds. He says, time tells me that God knows. Look at verse 18. The Lord knoweth. Notice the emphasis on time. The days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. He says, time tells me not only that God upholds and not only that God knows, he says, but that God provides. Look at verse 19. They shall not be ashamed, meaning they're not going to be embarrassed in the evil time, emphasis on time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. He said, God's going to provide. Then he says in verse 20, God's going to judge, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. And the idea is that, like, of course, this is in the Old Testament time, and as an animal is sacrificed, and it's burnt, and it's consumed. He said, that's what's going to happen to the wicked. God will judge. Then he says this, that God blesses. Verse 21. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. By the way, we as Christians should try to pay our bills. Not necessarily preaching on that, but I think, you know, here God tells us the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. He says, but the righteous showeth mercy. Notice the contrast here. And giveth. So they borrow and payeth not again. We should show mercy and give. We should be generous. Verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. And here's what David is saying. David is saying, it's better to live with the blessing of God. And the context is this. It's better to live with little and have the blessing of God than to live in prosperity and be cursed by him. Then he tells us that God directs. Look at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he, I believe this is God, delighteth in his way. And I think the Bible is teaching us here that when we delight in the Lord, he delights in us. But notice that God directs. The steps of a good man are guided by the Lord. He says, God is going to direct you. If you're delighting in him, he's going to delight in you. He's going to direct you. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He says, even when he falls, God doesn't forsake you. He holds you up. And then I want you to notice in verse 25 and 26, he tells us that God preserves. This is the verse that we began with, verse 25. He says, I have been young, and now I'm old. That's the emphasis on time. He says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Now, this verse is, again, another famous verse in the psalm. There's several famous verses in the psalm. Psalm 37, verse 25 is one of those. He says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And this could be a little bit of a controversial verse for people, because some people will take this verse as a promise that if you're saved and if you're righteous, then you're never going to beg bread. And the problem with that is that there are some people who've seen saved people beg bread and be beggars, so they'll have a conflict with this verse. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts on this, and one is not my position, but it's a position that's out there, and then I'll tell you what I think it means. One position that people have, those who see a conflict in this verse, but they don't want to write off the Bible, is that David is just speaking from his own experience. And I can see where they can get that, because he says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So they'll say that this is not a blanket promise to all believers, but it's just David's observation that he hasn't seen that happen. And I don't have a problem with that. I think, though, that there is a conflict here for some people, and I can understand why there's a conflict, because they maybe have seen people who they said were saved, and then they were begging. The problem that I have with taking this as a promise that if you're saved, you're never going to beg bread, right? I've been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The problem that I have with that is not that I've seen a saved person begging bread, although I'm sure I've seen a saved person begging bread. The problem that I have with that is that there's actually a parable in the Bible, excuse me, not a parable, good night, a story in the Bible given to us by Jesus that's not a parable, about a real man who was saved in Luke 16. If you remember, Jesus tells the story of the rich man, and Jesus talks about a certain beggar named Lazarus. And Lazarus was saved. He went to heaven when he died. So how can these things be? And I think that the answer for me and my idea and perspective is this, that when the Bible says here the righteous, it's not just talking about positional righteousness, because sometimes we talk about the righteous and we're just talking about people that are saved. But I think that within the context of this psalm, it's clear that we're talking about people that are living righteously, not just the righteous, but who are actually acting that out, living that out. Because remember, you say, well, we're saved by faith. Absolutely, we're saved by faith. But the Bible also says that the just shall live by faith. So look, we're all about salvation is not of works, it's by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Absolutely, there's nothing you have to do in order to be saved. But let's not forget that once you are saved, God's desire is for us to work out our own salvation. Now, that doesn't mean that if you don't do it, you're not saved. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying to you that salvation is just step number one. God wants us to live by faith. And I believe, and I'm not trying to accuse Lazarus of anything, okay? I'm not trying to get to heaven and have Lazarus come punch me in the face or something. But I believe that if you are to take this as a promise, as a blanket promise, what David is telling us is that I've been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous. And I think in the context here, it's not just a saved person, but a saved person who's living righteously. He said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And you can decide. But the idea is this, that God preserves. God preserves us. And I think the takeaway is that God always takes care of his own. And we just have to wait to see. Just got to be faithful at it. And you, again, I think the theme in this whole psalm is you may wonder why the wicked prosper, why the righteous struggle. Why do they prosper while we struggle? But you know, just I think what David would say is time will tell. Time will tell. And then there's another section. It covers verses 27 through 34. And the section is this, the call to righteousness. And there's a call here and things that we're told to do. The first, verse 27, he says, depart from evil and do good. So we are to turn from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. Why? Here's why, verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved. You see how that goes with the context of, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He's telling us, you want that? You want that promise? Then depart from evil, do good, and you'll dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. That's the emphasis on time. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. And of course, it's talking about the fact that we live for eternity. So we see that we are to turn from evil and do good. Then this is the call to righteousness. He's telling us, here's what a righteous person looks like. They turn from evil and they do good. But also they speak with wisdom and walk with the Lord. Look at verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. And it's important what we talk about and what we allow to come out of our mouths. They speak with wisdom. They speak truth. His tongue talketh of judgment. Then I want you to notice in verses 31 through 33, we see this idea of abiding in his word. Notice in verse 31, he says, the law of his God is in his heart. That's what we saw in Psalm 1. He delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here, he says, the law of his God is in his heart. And I think we should ask ourselves, is the law of God in our hearts? He says, because if it is, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. So we see that we should have the law of God in our hearts. We should abide in the word. And then he tells us to wait. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his ways. Look at it. You say, why? Why should I? Here's what he's saying. Time will tell. You just wait. You don't quit. You don't end too early. You don't quit before the thing is done. He said, you just stay at it. Be like Paul and decide, I want to get to the end and say, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I didn't quit. I stuck with it. I'm talking about living for God and walking with God. He says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. And here's what he says. He says, and he shall exalt thee. When, Lord? He says, to inherit the land. See, a lot of the times, the exaltation that's coming, it's coming not in this life, but in the next. In the rewards that are to come. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And he's telling us that a life of righteousness is worth it. Turning from evil, speaking wisely, waiting on the Lord, those things are worth it. You said, no one's noticing. I'm not being exalted. I'm not being promoted. But God sees. And David is telling us that time will tell. Time will tell. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read this for you. But here's what Peter said. He said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Isn't that what the psalm says? Psalm 37, 4, wait on the Lord and keep his ways, and he shall exalt thee. Here's what Peter said. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, here's what he says, in due time. So David would tell us, with the perspective of age, he would say, time will tell. Time will tell. Then we come to the last section, and this is a long psalm, but we'll do this quickly. It covers verses 35 through 40, and it's the comparison between the righteous and the wicked. So we did a contrast, now we're going to do a comparison. In verses 35 and 36, he tells us to not be impressed by them. Look at verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Do you understand? It sounds like an old man speaking, doesn't it? I mean, here you have an old man with some age and some perspective and some wisdom, and he's telling us, I have seen, he said, in my time, in my life, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Verse 36, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. He said, don't be impressed with the wicked. They fade quickly. Then he says in verse 37, mark the perfect man. He said, here's who you should be impressed with. Here's who you should be following. Here's who you should be putting posters up in your room of. Do people still do that? I don't know. It's something people did when I was a teenager. He says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. You say, why? Here's why. For the end of that man is peace. That's the emphasis on time. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. He says, look, better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. He said, don't look at how they started and don't look at how they're living. He said, why don't you give it some time? Time will tell. Watch how they end. And he says, the end of the wicked is to be cut off, but the end of the perfect man and the upright man is peace. So he says, mark that man. Watch how they end. And then he ends the psalm by telling us to trust in the Lord. Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for that? He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Here's what David is saying, and I've been saying it this whole night. Just give it time. Time will tell. I think the application for us is that you just live a consistent, faithful life. Just live consistently for the Lord. And you'll see that he shall help them, he shall deliver them, he shall save them, because they trust in him. Let me end with this verse, these couple verses, Proverbs 4, verses 18 and 19. I'll just read this for you and we'll be done. He says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. See, this verse tells us that when you walk with God and you walk in the light, when we walk with God and we walk in the light, it just shines more and more unto the perfect day, unto the complete day, until it's all said and done. I think what this man, David, is telling us in this psalm where he tells us, I've been young and now I'm old. I've got some things to tell you. And the primary thing I want you to know is this, that time will tell. Time will tell. So just stay at it. Don't quit. Walk with God and it'll be worth it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for this psalm. I know it's long and there's a lot of verses here, and we tried to cover them as quickly as we could. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn this and to just learn this from David, from this old man giving us some perspective. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to apply it to our lives. And Lord, I do want to pray for Brother Nate, and he is waiting on some results of an exam that he took, Lord, and we're just praying that he would pass. And Lord, we're just asking that you would answer that prayer, and we're just believing in faith and praying with him and committing, asking you, Lord, to help him to have passed that test, Lord. And we pray that you would bless him and bless everyone here, bless our church, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to be able to live for you, to walk for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, well, we're going to have Brother Moses come up and lead us in a final song. Just want to give you a couple of reminders and of course, we have church on Sunday. Don't forget about that. We have soul winning on Saturday. There's soul winning tomorrow. But the big one is that we've got our church picnic on Monday. And so it's next week, but it's just a few days away. So make plans to be here for that. If you've not yet signed up to help with the desserts or side dishes, you can do that. And of course, if there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. Also, If your teens are going to the youth conference and you've not finalized the hotels or the registration, please take care of that tonight. We need you to take care of that so that we can get that all situated and done with. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. We'll have Brother Moses come up and lead us in a final song.
All right, turn in your songbooks, page number 149. Page number 149, we're going to sing Trusting Jesus. Page 149, and let's go ahead and sing it out on the first.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way.
And if you have any questions about salvation, church membership, or baptism, you can see Pastor in the front, and he will direct you to someone who can speak about that. Can I please have Brother Josh close us in a word of prayer? Amen.